Well, hey, the On The Ball podcast is back. This week, we talk about the sixth American owner of a Premier League club. Real Madrid spent $34 million on the new Xabi Alonso, and we discuss Alessandro Nesta's comments regarding Serie A's decline. It's me, Jake Field, producer Giovanni, West Overstreet, and our very special guest, Hunter, the Arsenal fan. We're on the ball. Good morning. Welcome to the On The Ball podcast. It's a rainy Sunday morning here in Addison, Texas. We're at the Londoner. Producer Gio, how are you doing this morning?
Doing well, Jake. Thank you.
I have to admit, I was running late. That was my bad. YOLO, I guess. Good morning, West. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I was on time this morning.
Both of you were on time?
Absolutely.
Oh, well, we're one shipmate view of on our boat, I guess, on the pod. Obviously Brad, Kevin and Mark, it's their day off, I suppose. So
yeah, but we might have a special guest here in a little bit. We'll see what we can do
we'll
about
find
that.
Out.
We can see.
We'll find out.
We do the show on the fly, clearly. No planning whatsoever. Go straight into it. First of all, Gio just reminded me. Twitter, On The Ball Show. Go to our Facebook, On The Ball Soccer Podcast. Comment, tweet us.
Tweet.
Indeed. If you agree with me, or you agree with West, or you think we talk utter bollocks, just tweet us, Facebook us, everything. We'd love to hear from you. We'll give you a shout out, all that good stuff. Straight into it. A new foreign owner in the English Premier League, Fulham. Obviously, a huge, in terms of geography, huge rivals to West's team, Chelsea.
Chelsea, yeah.
and it's the sixth American owner.
Yeah, it's sixth American. I think right now 11 of the 20 teams in England are foreign owned.
I mean, it's pretty remarkable. But I mean, Forbes lists him at, I think, 1.9 billion. Wow. I mean, is this going to? Do you think this is going to be with financial fair play coming in, do you think this is going to be, could Fulham now buy all these players and parachute to the top of the league, or is that not going to happen?
I don't think so. I think they're going to have to try to stay mid-table where they are now and do a slow build. I don't think you can just come and splash in money like you could before with financial fair play. It's too close to the bigger penalty. So
yeah.
They're going to have to take their time and build. I mean, the previous owner for Yad did a great job of picking, recruiting, and finding players. And I think that had a lot to do with his knowledge of the game and being able to find players at a good cost and a good level to keep the team afloat and, you know, keep it in the middle of the... I mean, they were never at the top, never really, but just kind of keep it in the middle. And, you know, it was a great investment for him. I think he bought it for, like, $6 million 16 years ago. So, he made it.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't disclosed how much this deal's cost, but
yeah,
it's around $300 million.
Yeah, it was a private deal, so they haven't disclosed, just between two guys, like backdoor deal. Not necessarily a backdoor deal, but it was just like two buddy educated businessmen that just did a deal together and they didn't have to disclose.
It's
awesome.
Alpha had done a really good job, especially with managers. I mean, he's done Roy Hodgson. Martin Yol's not a bad coach. I had Kevin Keegan back in the day, but if people don't know, Fulham were in the... I mean, really, the doldrums of English football.
Yeah, and they were about to go bankrupt when they purchased him. That's how he got him for such a great price.
Yeah, exactly. And then just built them up. And once they got into the English Premier League, they've never been really in danger of getting relegated. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, he's done a great job. And it's going to really see, like, what's Khan's dedication to the team. I mean, he obviously owns the Jacksonville Jaguars here in America.
Right.
I think his background was more in, like, cricket. Is what he grew up with the game of
cricket. Obviously researched for today, and he's a Pakistani-born U.S. citizen, I think.
Right.
So he moved here when he was, I think, 16.
Yeah, 16 to study.
He got an engineering degree from the University of Illinois, and he has a really thick American accent. So for all intents and purposes, he's American.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, what does this say for the Premier League. I mean, it's still a big pool for these foreign investors, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to continue to grow the league. I mean, when you have, I mean, it's going to, obviously it's going to probably attract interest from people in Pakistan, but it's, that's, as we're going to talk about a topic later, I think was about, what are we, the Italian league?
Yeah, yeah.
How it's falling behind, but it's just going to be a bigger spectrum for the EPL. When you have, I think when you have foreign buyers, foreign owners like that, it just makes the league bigger. More people around the world want to know about it because you have different owners from different places, as opposed to just all the owners being from one country. I mean, it just expands the game.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Interest. The interest level has peaked.
Yeah, I agree. And especially, like, more investment, we get better players in the Premier League and that kind of thing. I mean, it's smart. I mean, Craven Cottage, though, is very small ground. I think it's 25,000,
yeah, 25,000. They want to expand it, and, but they're really cautious about the history and stuff like that. I think it's like the old hunting house or something like that. What is it that's there?
No, there's basically Craven Cottage. The ground literally has a cottage in one corner of the ground.
Right.
That's like really old. I can't remember what how old the foundations are. It might be like 1600s or something.
Yeah.
And it's right by the river, so it's very difficult to expand. But I mean, I think it's good. The guy's come out and he's done a good PR job, I think. He said, well, I don't see myself as the owner of Fulham Football Club. I see myself as a custodian of the club and its fans. So he's very, as I would think, Americans are very conscious about this public relations thing.
And
he's done a good job. I mean, he's done the interviews. He's not like a Roman Abramovich doesn't talk, that you never hear from. I mean, this guy immediately first day comes out and talks. I mean, there's...
Yeah, I mean, just like the owner of City.
Yeah.
He's behind the scenes. You never hear from him.
Exactly.
Kinda cuts the checks, makes the deals, and that's that.
Do you think there'll be, random point, do you think there'll be a competition between these American owners? Stan Kroenke, obviously, at Arsenal, who are playing a friendly right now. Malcolm Glazier, or the Glazier family at Manchester United. With this guy, Khan, at Fulham, no?
I don't know. I don't
they,
think
they
so.
All own.
Yeah, I mean,
they all own American football teams.
Yeah, they own football teams and then EPL teams. I don't think so. I think, I mean, if there is, I don't think it'll be a public league. It'll be something that they do, like, back room, nice hotel, nice restaurant, something they just talk about amongst each other. It won't ever become a public thing. I think it's just a rich man's game.
I mean, we'll see. Yeah, I agree, but it's interesting. And that's another thing. I guess maybe if the MLS changed their rules, maybe you'd see more investors coming into the MLS. I mean, all these American people coming to the English Premier League, it'd be nice if they invested in the MLS to make the league here stronger.
I mean, over time, I think it'll happen. And what having American investors abroad shows the interest of Americans in football, the world's game. So I think over time, players are going to start switch. It's going to be a rotation. Players are going to start coming to America, and then there'll be more interest in the American game. It's just that without the players coming, it's going to be difficult to invest and get a good return on your investment.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's also about prestige, too, with the EPL when you have a English Premier League. There's no prestige in owning a team in the MLS yet.
Yeah.
Not to knock the league, but there's just not that prestige. I mean, in the pantheon of great leagues, it's towards the bottom 10 or...
Yeah.
Lower, I mean, somewhere in there, you know.
The best MLS team would probably finish mid-table in the league below the Premier League.
Yeah, in the championship.
Yeah, in the championship.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, part of the conversation with this with the guy Khan that now owns Fulham was the Jaguars, obviously NFL team, are going to play one game a year for the next 3 years in London at Wembley.
Oh, nice.
And they've been asking him, is this just your launching pad to start an NFL team in England? Which, I mean, might sound crazy, but look, it's from New York to London is closer than New York to LA. So it's not, in terms of flying time, New York to London's, I think, 5.5 hours.
Yeah.
New York to LA is 8.
Yeah.
So, like, they're thinking, well, if there's a London franchise, an NFL franchise, so maybe will be the start of it.
What is the interest in England for American football?
There isn't really.
Right, and that's, I think that's the big...
I mean, I was talking to, obviously, yeah, you asked me about NFL. I was in a taxi cab yesterday with a guy from Mexico. He was from Mexico City. And
huge Cowboy fan?
No,
really?
He had no interest in NFL or NBA. He was a Cruz Azul fan.
Cruz Azul.
And so I was talking to him, but he... you know, basically he was like, well, how's NBA and NFL like in England? And I said, you go on any street in London and you pick out 10 people just at random and you ask them who LeBron James is. And I guarantee, maximum, and I'm talking about absolute max, 2 out of those 10 Whoa. Would know who the hell he is. Like, nobody knows. But that's NBA. Now, I mean, people would have heard of Michael Jordan.
Obviously.
But out of those 10, I guarantee not all 10 would know who Michael Jordan is. I mean, so that kind of shows you. But NFL's even less. You ask someone on the street who Tony Romo is, and I guarantee nobody. Nobody in 50 would know who
nobody
he is.
Nobody knows Tony Romo?
No one knows.
Jeez.
Yeah, so NFL isn't big. I mean, it's getting big with the one game, and the games are all shown on TV.
Yeah.
So...
There was a report on 60 Minutes about the honor, right? Trying to bring NFL to England, and they were saying, I mean, he's just trying to make it bigger, and then you also have the Cowboys being the biggest sports franchise in the world.
that's very debatable, that, yeah. I think
No.
You have internet right now?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Are we talking about value?
Type no, yeah. What's the top franchise in the world? I believe it's a team.
It's either the Yankees or the Cowboys.
I believe it's a team called Manchester United. But you guys can check it out. We'll check it out. As we say, we do this show on the fly. Gio says that it's Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys, most recognized team.
Most recognized team.
Most recognized
sports franchise.
And I think most valued in the world.
In the world?
In the world.
If you look it up, I guarantee Manchester United are above Dallas Cowboys. And I bet you the Yankees are above the Cowboys. But yeah, if people don't, I think it's a great thing. This another foreign investor. Hopefully he puts money in Fulham. It's a fantastic club. I've been there several times at Craven Cottage, their stadium. It's a wonderful, wonderful stadium. Great fans. It's a very family atmosphere. And Mohamed Al-Fayed, who was obviously the outgoing owner, did a fantastic job. I got to meet him a few times. Really great guy. If people find his name familiar, his son was, as we were talking off the pod, his son was in a relationship with Princess Diana of England. And his son and obviously Princess Diana died in a car crash in 1997, if history serves me right. Gio, have we got an update on the sports franchises?
We'll start with the number 6, the 50 most popular team sports. And at 6, we have Dallas Cowboys. So maybe Jake is right. All right, number 5, Green Bay Packers. 4.
What website is this, Gio?
This is BleacherReport.com.
Wait a minute. That discredits it right there. Nobody can't use Bleacher Report.
Well, I'm just, you know, I just Googled, picked the top one.
We're going to go with 4.
4, Real Madrid. Then we have Los Angeles Lakers, the Lakers, New York Yankees at 2, and number 1, let's see, Manchester United.
Cool. Well, so, I'm not going to argue with Bleacher Report, considering I applied for a job there, but here we go. West, what does Forbes say?
I got Forbes.
Okay.
We're talking about, this is the wealthiest franchises. At number 5, we got the Washington Redskins at $1.56 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Who do we have next? Wait, what happened to number 4? Is this a tie? All right, so next we had the Dallas Cowboys.
At number 4?
At number 4.
Okay.
It might be a tie at $1.85 billion. The New York Yankees.
At number 3?
Are tied. It's the Cowboys and Yankees are tied at $1.85 billion.
Okay, tied for 4th?
Or tied for 3rd.
Mm.
Or tied for 4th, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, number 2, we got Real Madrid at $1.88 billion.
And are you ready?
And with a lengthy lead at $2.23 billion, Manchester United.
I rest my case.
Jake knows.
I hate you,
Mike. That happens. It happens. Okay, next on the agenda, Real Madrid spent $34 million. And you guys can look it up and can butcher my pronunciation of the guy's name.
We'll just go with what's on his kit. Iyari? Iyara?
Iyara?
Iyara? Go with that.
Spanish under 21. It's their fourth signing of the summer. And it's their fourth under 21 signing.
I have a question. Maybe you understand this. Okay, so he played for the under 21 team this year, but I believe he's 23 years old. How does that work?
No, it can't be right.
No?
I believe there's people that...
He was born in 85, so that makes
him... That makes him 27. No, 28. No. If he's born in 85, he's 28. I'm born in 87, I'm 26. No, the new guy, he's not. He's a Spanish under 21 player. Ladies and gentlemen, I could be called out here.
That's the thing. It says he was born in March 8th, 1990. So that makes him 23.
That's interesting.
But he was on the under 21 team this year.
I mean, yeah. If anyone can tell us how that is possible, then you can go on Twitter at On the Ball Show.
Well, I thought it might have been like with the Olympic thing where you can have a couple of players that are above the age limit. So I was like, I didn't understand.
But that's an awful lot of money. He actually from Real Sociedad.
Real Sociedad. Grew up there, went all the way through the complete system there.
Yeah, unlike most of the Spanish players, he hasn't come from the Real Madrid or Barcelona youth system.
Yeah.
But the new Xabi Alonso, who also came from Sociedad as well, it's funny. New policy, I guess.
Yeah.
Instead of buying stars, they're buying young players.
Yeah, well, we talked about that. I forget that the third podcast about the Galacticos. I guess that's gone now. I mean, they passed on bail, and they brought in four youngsters.
Obviously, the four players, a guy called, his first name is Danny, that would probably be on his shirt. Isco, obviously, that was much linked to Manchester City.
And Pellegrini, yeah. Still shocked about that one.
I was
for sure he was going with Pellegrini. I mean, he basically said the guy was his father, and then next thing you know, he signed with Real Madrid. It was a bit of a shock, but, you know.
Childhood, I guess,
dream.
When we're talking about Real Madrid, the news now is that, well, they've signed Isco, they have Mesut Ozil. Where does this leave, and obviously the other three youngsters, where does this leave Kaká?
Well, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, the rumor was he was going to leave, and now the Florentino Perez, the president, says he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, he said he's still one of the greatest footballers on the planet.
Second, and I think he also said, he's second most followed soccer player in the world.
In the world, behind Cristiano Ronaldo. Got it.
Like, funny. That's any indication about how good he is.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, we know he's a good guy and people love him. But we'll see. I mean, what can Ancelotti do? Can he bring him back to the form of AC Milan?
AC Milan, yeah. That's
if that happens, then
it'll
be big. And you'll see him in the World Cup for Brazil if that happens.
Well, Kaká hasn't played for Brazil, I think, for a long time. Like, maybe two, 3 years.
It's just 2 years, but that's talk. I mean, we haven't seen him perform, but I mean, that's what people are looking to kind of saying. Maybe if Ancelotti brings that form back, the door's still open. Big Phil said the door's still open. So
is Ancelotti gonna do with Kaká what Rafa Benitez did with Fernando Torres at Chelsea?
What did he do?
As in, is he going to claim that he can get him back to his best form and then not really make it? Although Torres did.
I mean, outside of the EPL, Torres was pretty good.
Against weaker teams.
Yeah, against the weaker teams. I mean, but
this could be, I mean, it's a crucial season, I guess, for Kaká. I think if he fails this season, I think it's back to Brazil with most of the other Brazilian players that started in Europe.
Yeah, and just got older. And I mean, in time, eventually passed him up. But no. Hopefully, he can put. I would like to see him put together one last run. You know, maybe just one of the old guard make that World Cup team for Brazil.
For Brazil, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Ronnie's gonna do it. I'd like to see Kaká.
Ronaldinho. Yeah,
see Kaká on that team would be. It'd be awesome.
It's funny you mentioned Ronaldinho. I mean, obviously we like to go off topic here, on the Ball podcast. Ronaldinho. Rumors that he's coming back to Europe to play, which is interesting. I mean, he is, I think he's 30, How old is Ronaldinho? He might be 31 now. I mean, time passes by. He was about... I think he must be 31 or 32. I think he was 20 maybe in the 2002. 33?
Ooh. Yeah.
Almost. But yeah.
Yeah, he just turned 33.
Yeah, time passes by quick. The only reason why I knew his ballpark age was obviously that wonder goal he scored against England in the 2002 World Cup in Japan and Korea. The free kick that he meant as a cross that went in. But rumour is he'll come back to Europe, possibly. Another Brazilian player, Robinho, a.k.a. the future of Neymar.
No. wait a minute. Are you still on Neymar after his latest performance?
Okay. Wait, first of all, Robinho, he was obviously AC Milan, which we'll talk about later on in the show, was going to go back to Santos, where he started off his career, which is obviously Neymar's now former club.
Right.
Looks like it's not happening. I guess Robinho wants a lot of money. No surprise. I think Milan were ready to give him away pretty much for like 5 million. I think he's 29 now, Robinho. And I say he's the future Neymar's future because I think that, okay, Neymar's got great potential. I always say this. It's almost like a routine on this pod. But he could just so easily become the next Robinho. So he plays well and then, by the time he's 29, disappears.
I think he's going to be at Barca for a while and he's going to be successful. But that's just me.
I know. I have a feeling I'm going to be wrong.
Yeah, I think that this one you might be wrong. I mean, he just showed a level of maturity and calm and poise playing in this tournament in Brazil.
But speaking about Real Madrid, it's good policy, no? Buying young Spanish players.
Yeah, absolutely. That's building policy for the future. I like that.
It's good. I mean, two-team league.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's more like, you build your team on the young players and then you use the transfer window for foreign players for like immediate impacts, immediate needs,
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can just build up the players. I mean, they're so young. I mean, I like that Chelsea's doing that. I mean, Chelsea's gobbling up young players right now and building up the squad.
What do you think about, is it the teams that are giving these youngsters the chance? Or are the youngsters that good that they... I mean, how do I articulate this? If English teams, the Manchester United's, the Chelsea's, were to buy a Thomas Ince or like Wilfred Zaha that Manchester United bought, if they were to put faith in these young English players, do you think that would, I guess, progress the national team, for instance? Or is it in Spain when you have Real Madrid buying these youngsters, are the youngsters that good? Or are they just...
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with they have a lot of talent and they believe that they can get the talent out of those players. And then when you're putting these 6-year contracts, 7-year contracts on a 20-year-old, by the time he's 25, 26, I mean, he's still in the value. He's still with that team, most likely. When you're doing that contract with like 25, 26, 27-year-olds, giving them these 6 contracts, everybody's opting out. They're trying to get away in 3 years. They've played... Either doing really well and they want to go somewhere else, or they're terrible after 3 years and they want to go somewhere and they're getting sent somewhere else because the team no longer wants them. I think when you're dealing with these younger players, it's more of an investment and you're willing to build and mold, and you know that the players aren't fully developed, but the potential's there. You saw how they progressed because they've been in the same school for so long. So you're willing to bet that they can hedge your bet on them progressing to being a world-class footballer. So they show the talent and potential, and you think you can mold them and put them in a position to continue to be better.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see how Real Madrid do next season. I mean, Carlo Ancelotti, the stat is that every league he goes to, he wins the title in the first season. First season, well, obviously in Italy, he won it with AC Milan and Juventus. First season at Chelsea, won the league. First season at PSG, won the league. Could be again in Spain. We'll see.
It's gonna be tough. We'll see.
Well, I know it's not on the agenda, but obviously as we were talking about, I guess, Spanish football, La Liga, Pep Guardiola at Bayern Munich. Looks like he's going to buy Thiago, who was linked all summer with with Manchester United. Is there, tell me that Bayern Munich aren't going to be the first team since, I think, maybe 89 to win the Champions League back to back. I mean, they're going to have an outstanding team.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really hard to bet against Bayern Munich.
They sold out. Obviously, we like to talk about transfer news on the
Gomez.
On the pod. Yeah, Mario Gomez is gone.
He was getting no run.
But yet, not this season that's finished. The previous season, he scored 56 goals or something in all competitions, just behind Messi and Ronaldo.
Right.
And then gets injured, tries to get back into the team, can't get in the team. Because Mandzukic is there, and then now he's off. And he got sold for relatively cheap. I think it was only, 17 million, I think?
Yeah.
Relatively cheap. Yeah. I mean, considering Fernando Torres gets sold for 50. And
I like bringing up Nando.
I like to poke the guests here, Gio.
Antagonize them. It just goes to show the strength of that squad.
Yeah.
And the overall talent and scoring ability from the midfield, as well as the strikers that they have.
If you hear the crowd going crazy right now, Arsenal are playing a pre-season friendly, and they have just scored. And the Arsenal fans here at the Londoner and Addison are going wild. Yeah. Or at least they were. Now they've kind of simmered down.
Realized who they were playing against, and they're like, oh, maybe that wasn't such a big deal.
They went to bed last night praying that Gonzalo Higuain had signed for them, whether that happens or not. But as we're talking about Guardiola, and maybe we've talked about it on the pod before, but I say this to a bunch of people, and obviously sometimes I'm right, and in the case of Neymar, sometimes I'm wrong. What does this prove? You know, Pep Guardiola, fantastic player. If people didn't know, he was a defensive midfielder for Barcelona. He also played for Roma, I believe, in Serie A. Takes over Barcelona, the greatest team, and wins everything.
Yeah.
And now he's coming back after a year away, a sabbatical that he spent in New York, and he's taking over the best team in Europe again. If he was to win everything, now Bayern Munich won the treble in Germany, so they won the equivalent of the German FA Cup, they won the German title, and they won the Champions League. I mean,
there's not much more he can do. I mean, it's going to be tough.
But if he was to win everything, does that prove he's a good coach?
I mean, I think him being proven as a good coach is a foregone conclusion. That's already established.
Really?
I think he's already a good coach. I think that's without question.
You don't think me and you could coach Bayern Munich
I can't talk about what he's done with Bayern Munich because he hasn't coached him yet. I'm talking about what he's done up to this point.
You don't think me and you could manage Barcelona to at least second in La Liga?
We can get him to second in La Liga, but I mean, he did a great job in Barcelona with the organization and getting the most out of his players. I mean, at Bayern Munich, it's going to be impossible for him to do better than what they've already done. I mean, for them to win the treble again, it's unlikely. I mean, they're going to have to play so many more games this year. What happened to Chelsea after they won the Champions League? I mean, they played 70-plus games.
Yeah, because you have the World Club Cup, which I think now gets played in Japan.
Yeah.
Every year, you have the Super Cup.
Yeah, and you got the World Cup coming up. Yeah. I mean, it's just...
In a World Cup year? Jeez. You look at these German players. I wouldn't bet on... Germany have a fantastic team, but...
They're going to be whipped.
If any gamblers are listening to this board, I probably would think twice about betting my money on Germany, because if you think about how many players from Bayern Munich playing the German team and they're going to play that many games,
they're going to be tired.
They're going to be knackered by the time the World Cup comes.
And they have to go to Brazil and play in that heat, the humidity down there after that long season... They're going to be drained. It's going to be real, real, real tough for those guys. But don't count them out.
but don't count them out.
They do have the talent to do it.
They do. But it's possible. Bayern Munich, two Champions Leagues, back to back. The closest have been, Bayern Munich made three finals in 4 years. Manchester United made three finals in 4 years.
The thing about it is, I think in the Bundesliga, they might be able to coast a bit. They're not going to have to roll out their top-flight squad. week in, week out to win games. And that's, I mean,
they took Dortmund's best midfield player, Mario Götze, and Lewandowski's already signed for next season.
Yeah, and they tried to get Lewandowski for this year too, but yeah. It's possible. I'm hoping the special one can pull some tricks out of his bag, see what we can do. But it's hard to bet against them. They're just such a deep squad.
Yeah, we'll see.
Especially playing everything's a minimum of two games. And you have the knockout stages, and it's two games. Like, maybe if it was one game and they had to play like Man U once or Real Madrid once. Getting to the championship game is about the only time they'll have a chance to really lose, I think, in my opinion. Where you have to beat them one time, and that's it.
Obviously, over one game, anything can happen. But over two games...
It's tough. The way they played last year. Totally. Teams. But.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Good luck to Pep Guardiola. He's obviously... The big news is that he was angry at the heads of Barcelona because they kept throwing his name out there, and they said that he didn't visit Tito Villanova in hospital when he had cancer and all this. They were just spreading, I guess, stuff about Guardiola.
Right.
And he came out fighting this week and was like, I saw him once in hospital, but that's because I was busy. And basically, he came out and said, I was unfairly treated at Barcelona. I have nothing to prove. I was a player there. I was a manager there.
Right.
You know, I took a year off. You know, give me a break. And talking of breaks, we're going to take a five-minute break right now, and we will be back. It's On the Ball. And we're back on the ball. We have a very special guest with us, Hunter, Arsenal fan. How are you doing, Hunter?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. We literally... grabbed him. Well, West grabbed him.
Told you we're gonna have a special guest.
West made sure of it. He just grabbed him. Talk about Arsenal for a little bit. We have a lot of Arsenal listeners. Higuain, first of all, we're putting you on the spot.
All right.
Do you want him, Higuain?
Personally, yes. I mean, I think it's no secret that Arsenal need a quality striker right now. We had Podolski and Giroud come in last season, and both, combined to score a decent amount of goals, but, two coming in to replace one fantastic player in Robin Van Persie, it was always going to be a challenge. So, yeah, I do think we need a top striker, and I do believe Higuain is one of those targets we should be looking at.
I mean, I have to ask you, how frustrating is it as an Arsenal fan that you guys don't spend money year on year, but then this year, finally, it looks like you guys are going to spend money? Has it been frustrating the last, 8 years?
Yeah, of course. So you want your club to win titles, and you want to be challenging for all the trophies in Europe and domestically. So it's certainly been frustrating seeing other teams like Chelsea win the Champions League and, to a lesser extent, the Europa League this last season. And
Chelsea won that?
Oh, yeah, right.
Come on.
I kind of erased that from my memory.
Yeah. Never lose any credit.
Yeah. But I mean, the financial constraints that have apparently been there, is something that's worked against Wenger and the club. And apparently, for a number of reasons, a new kit deal, some of the debts becoming lighter. There seems to be some money available now, and I think they really need to take advantage. At the same time, we're only 2 weeks into the transfer window. A lot of the other clubs have still yet to make big signings. You have Chelsea buying the one German forward.
Schürrle,
yeah. And then, of course, Man City buying
Fernandinho.
Yeah, and Jesus Navas. They also lost Tevez. So, I mean, it doesn't seem like they've gained much ground either. So I don't think...
Manchester United haven't bought anybody yet.
Yeah.
But they just gave... couple of days gave Moyes a green light to go ahead and sign a superstar, so we'll see what that amounts to.
What the Manchester United Arsenal connection, what do you think about? I'm a Manchester United fan.
I'm a Chelsea fan.
Okay.
What do you think about the Wayne Rooney link to Arsenal? Do you think would fans welcome it at the Emirates, do you think?
I think initially there was some, just the initial shock for Gunners being linked with such a high-profile player was a little bit out there. But now that it's been a few weeks, it seems like you know, something a lot of Gooners would be interested in, not just commercially, but, you know, for the fear he strikes in the opposing team when they see that they're going to be playing against him.
Yeah, Arsenal have been linked with, obviously, Higuain is the main one that looks like it's going to happen, and looks like it's not going to happen. And then, apart from Rooney, Luis Suarez. I mean, a lot of striker. What do you think about Luis Suarez possibly coming to Arsenal?
That's a tricky one. Personally, again, I can only speak for myself, but I've always left myself the right to cheer for him, his skill and his ability to change games and score goals, while also, you know, not really admiring his character and behavior so much just from what's happened. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think, you know, you gotta take all
both
of a player,
yeah,
one way or the other, which in a way you do, because you're going to get the good and the bad. But for me, I would enjoy his goals. I think he's a player that we need. How that fits in with the way a lot of Gooners look at Arsenal being a club that holds itself to higher standards with character. You know, other supporters may agree or disagree with that, but that may cause a potential problem. But I would love to have him.
I think it'd be, yeah, either him or Rooney or Higuain. Oh, be fantastic, son. I mean, Wes, do you think Arsenal can do well next season?
Yeah, I mean, they'll finish in the top four, hopefully. They'll definitely.
Feel free to punch Wes.
No, it's okay. No, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I mean, they're going to have top four quality. I don't know if they'll challenge for the title next year. I don't know if they'll add enough to the squad to do that. I think it's going to be a dogfight between Man U and Chelsea next year.
Thank you.
We'll see what I mean. I mean, City will be right there too. I mean, Pellegrini, the way he coaches, his ability to get
the best out of his players.
Yeah,
he's
a real smooth coach. It's his teams play with a lot of fluidity, and there's not a lot of commotion in the organization.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what Mancini was.
Always.
There was always like spice and fire in there. And
there's Tevez problems and all this stuff happened with Mancini.
Yeah. And Pellegrini just comes in there and smooths it all out and gets the ship right and goes the correct way. I mean, they're going to be really, really tough to deal with. So I think it's probably a three-horse race for the title, and then Arsenal coming in behind. I remember I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. What do you feel about them letting RVP go, but then willing to spend the money on Higuain when RVP is just such top-notch, such top quality? It's still tough for me. If I had to choose between the two, I would definitely go RVP and try to retain him as opposed to reaching out for Higuain. But that was just me.
It's a tough one. I think that hurt a lot of Gooners, all Gooners. You don't want to see your best player, the best player in the league, go to one of your biggest rivals, a team that you could arguably say you helped secure the title. I personally think that last season a lot of the top teams in the Premier League were pretty weak, and that maybe United were just the best of the weak teams. Yeah. And you know that Sir Alex is always going to instill that fear, for lack of a better term, in his players to take care of business. So, but fair play. And you know, with this season, I think it does partly depend on who Arsenal bring in. You had the fantastic finish in the season from them last year. That yes, it did save their skin, but at the same time, if they can continue that at the beginning of this season and not put themselves in a hole, I don't see why it's not possible for them to be in the mix, title contention around, you know, Christmas, or at least give themselves a good footing to compete.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think you have on the back of your Arsenal jersey there, you have Jack Wilshere. I mean, if he stays fit, I mean, that's a big key as Arsenal score again.
3-0 to the Gooners.
3-0 to the Arsenal.
Another player that's going to have a big season, Giroud.
We are live at the Londoner and Addison. I think it's that your question was a bit. I mean, look, Robin van Persie wasn't going to stay at Arsenal. With all due respect, he wasn't going to win anything at Arsenal. Can't blame the guy. I mean, in all honesty, but. To be honest, I would rather have Higuain than Van Persie.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
Because how old's Higuain? like what?
26.
26?
27.
How old's RVP? Like 29? And what's their injury record?
It's true. I mean, you can't take it away that he won the league and got a higher
I mean, RVP did, fantastic sure. last season for Manchester United. He's our best player. But you never know. I mean, at Arsenal,
yeah,
he only had one really good season where he played more than 25 games. I mean, he was injured.
And I think that was a lot of the frustration for a lot of Arsenal supporters is that you had...
Finally, you come back, have one great season, and now you're
and
going
off. Yeah, you support him through years of injury, and Arsene still puts him into the team, because how can you not? And then for you know, him to just skip off after that. But again, goes back to, was money available to offer him the contract?
Do you think money... I mean, here's the thing. Was the money there?
I
in
don't
Arsenal,
think
or
was.
Do you don't think there was?
I don't think there was money last year. I think they do have some now. I mean, there could have been money last year, but the thing is that you're always going to have a bargain hunter in Arsene Wenger, and that doesn't have to be a negative thing. You spend money, you spend it wisely, you spend it on players that are going to help strengthen your title chances, and not just players with big names for big paychecks just to say that you did it. You're never going to get that type of managerial transfer behavior from Arsene as long as he's there. So I think that was pretty standard. Now that he does have money, though, go look at the big players, the Higuains, the Roonies, the Fellainis even, whoever. But make sure still that they're the right player.
Flamini would be a great signing for Arsenal.
Oh,
yeah, is that number four?
Yeah, and it's going to get a lot louder, I think. I saw the score before I walked over here, so.
Oh, this is a replay.
Yeah, they played earlier today.
And people tell me that the show isn't recorded live.
Yeah, right?
Come on, you got it!
Getting a bit raucous in here.
During last season, were you on the bandwagon that, I mean, there was a lot of gooners that wanted Arsene Wenger out. I mean,
yeah.
Now he's about to start. He wants to pledge his long-term future.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the biggest, probably the most divisive topic amongst Arsenal fans is Arsene Wenger. You know, you of course can't take away what he's done in the past, but the argument on the other side is, what does that have to do with this season? What does that have to do with going forward? You can't live on past glories. But again, it's tough. There's not a lot of transparency from the club as far as who's in charge of what, who's responsible for what.
With the owner and stuff like
that. Yeah, and I think that's generating a lot of the anxiety, a lot of the mistrust from the fans to the club, is that we don't know what's going on. If we have no money and can't sign big players and the manager's hamstrung on that side, then if we know that, you know, there's not going to be all this speculation and infighting amongst Arsenal fans. But because we don't see what's going on, it's difficult. So we just have speculation and rumors and a lot of nonsense that comes from it.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, especially with Ivan Gazidis. He comes out and says, oh, there's money to spend, and then the money doesn't get spent.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, people are like, why aren't you spending money, Arsene?
Yeah, it hasn't been spent yet. Again, you know, we're only a fourth of the way through the transfer window, you know, 2 weeks out of eight. You know, there's a lot of time left to make the important buys. And you see, again, you know, like we talked about, a lot of teams haven't done much yet, and I think it's going to be a matter of maybe unplugging the dam, and once, you know, a couple of players go here and there around Europe and England, you'll see a waterfall of activity, and hopefully that'll include Arsenal and some money being spent.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I don't think Arsenal. I think West is probably he's definitely right. I don't think Arsenal can. My opinion, obviously, I'm biased, Manchester United fan. In some respect, I'm biased. I don't think Arsenal are going to push for a title challenge. I mean, the long term, but next season, I think they'll definitely obviously improve if they get Higuain, Rooney. So look, we can do the deal right now. We don't need David Moyes and Arsene Wenger. We can shake on it. 25 million for Rooney. I'll give him to you. I want that 25 million.
Yeah.
I'll give Rooney away. But they're going to be up there. I don't think Arsenal are going to falter outside the top four.
Just going to be. I mean, it'll be a battle between them, Everton and Tottenham. I think for the number four spot. I mean
that's what my next question. How important is it? Wait, okay. Obviously we go off topic on the ball. Thierry Henry came out the end of the season, after Arsenal had secured fourth, and he said, you know, all the Arsenal players were celebrating that they had come fourth and they were in the Champions League. And he said, I hope that they're celebrating that they pushed Tottenham out of the top four. I hope they're celebrating that and they're not celebrating the fact that they finished fourth. I mean, how big of a thing is it to beat the Spurs? I mean, is it a big thing with the... I mean, obviously...
It's huge.
It's huge, right?
It's huge. I mean, you ask many Gooners what's more important, your you know, winning titles or finishing above Tottenham, and you'll probably have a pretty even split. I mean, it's a big deal. And, you know, it's a little unfair, in my opinion. I'm a little biased, of course, too, when it comes to Arsenal, that, you know, it's hyped up so much in the media, you know, this final day of the season... slugging out a boxing match for that last spot, and then when Arsenal get it and want to go applaud their fans after the game, they're then ridiculed and labeled as, you know, celebrating only finishing fourth. Well, you know, yes, Arsene Wenger has said before fourth place is like a trophy, yeah. And that's a comment that haunts a lot of Gooners, but you can't say that it's not also hyped up very much in the media, in the press, by fans of other teams, because of the money, because of the exposure, because of the status you get in the Champions League when you play in it. It is a big deal. So I don't think it was so much them celebrating finishing fourth and acting like, you know, that was an accomplishment. It was more, hey, it's been a rough season for us. We finished it off strong. We'll go and give a big cheers and thank you applaud to the away fans and try it again next season. You know, it's not always looked at as such in the media and by other people, but as an Arsenal fan, that's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, I mean that fourth spot is a huge spot. I mean, there's players that will not come to your team if you're not in Champions
League. Yeah,
for sure.
And that's so that's a great
major
point.
When you're trying to build your team and go forth in the future. I mean, they want Champions League football. Everybody wants to play in that. And yeah. It's a big deal. I mean, they should have been excited to be in the Champions League. It's a big thing out there. It brings a lot of money, which they need to buy more players to the squad.
Absolutely.
So it's a big deal. And I mean, he was a little harsh. Yeah. I think Thierry Henry was a little harsh. And you can say that when you're a legend and you're no longer playing.
You got the statue of yourself.
Yeah, you got
outside.
The statue out front. You can get away with saying stuff like that. But I mean.
Well, you know the story about Thierry Henry.
Which one?
This is a little anecdote. Story how much. Obviously, Henry comes out and he says he loves Arsenal a lot, which is true. There's a story that he had just signed for New York Red Bulls, and it was one of his first games, and he's in the change room signing shirts, and, you know, putting his autograph on the shirt. You know, Red Bull jerseys come, signs it, you know, just signs his name. Barcelona shirts, just signs his name. Then an Arsenal shirt shows up, and he writes, well, he asked the person, who's the person's name? And they're like, you know, I think it's Andy. And he writes, like, to Andy, like, all the best from Thierry, like, because he really loves Arsenal.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, so take a little more time, yeah.
I mean, maybe rumors he'll come back maybe as a coach one day. So
yeah, I mean, I'm sure he probably just wants to. I mean, his comments probably don't come from a nasty place. They come from a place of wanting to see Arsenal only accept the best and be the best. So it wasn't something to degrade what they had done. I think it was more of, hey, keep your expectations as high as possible because that's what I feel for the club. That's my love for the club. That's what I want to see the club shoot for, you know?
And you have to think that the players, too, want to live up to those legends and their expectations. And if anybody out of the whole Arsenal community, family, whatever, wants to succeed the most, it's got to be the players. So I don't, you know, think that they're going to, you know, expect to not do well and to accept a lower standard. So I think that they're going to give it their all this season and really try to make that push.
Well, I hope for Arsenal fans' sake and for the English national team's sake, Arsenal do well next season with obviously Walcott, Wilshere. Hopefully Wilshere stays injury free. Oxlade-Chamberlain, Kieran Gibbs. So hopefully Arsenal do well. I mean, onto another topic, and you can chime in if you want. Alessandro Nesta, huge defender, probably one of the best central defenders in the last 15 years, 20 years. Former AC Milan defender. Comes out and he says Serie A is falling behind the Premier League, behind the Bundesliga, behind La Liga. I mean, when I was growing up, I always thought Serie A was the number one. It was the top. I mean, Serie A would be shown on English TV, and I'd be like, gotta watch it, because you had Inter Milan with my favorite player of all time, Ronaldo, playing for them, Christian Vieri. They had Juventus, had Zidane, they had Didier Deschamps, they had Filippo Inzaghi, Del Piero. AC Milan had some fantastic players too. I mean, well, Shevchenko looked fantastic, I guess, at the time.
Chevy. Oh, Chevy.
But what's happened to La Liga? He says there's just no money in it. I mean,
it's true. They're falling behind. I think they don't. It goes back to the foreign investment and people putting money into the league and the marketing aspect of sports in general, the business side of sports in general, and taking advantage of it being a world game. Italy's not getting the exposure that La Liga is, with having Cristiano Ronaldo, Messi. So they have the two best players in the world on a marketing podium all over the world with Nike. You have the EPL, which is big. I mean, you have the American influence now with like them being on. They got a deal with, is it on ESPN or is Fox? ESPN picked up some games from the EPL.
In the US?
Yeah.
I think it's BN Sports.
BN.
Yeah, BN Sports, which is Al Jazeera Sports, but they don't call it Al Jazeera because that's a Middle Eastern name, and they think the Americans will hate the fact that it's a Middle Eastern name. Is right. Yeah, but BN Sports,
yeah,
I think it's got those.
So names up on my part. But I think the Italian league is just not getting the exposure, and I think that it has a lot to do with the outside people from other countries buying into it and trying to spread it. Like, there's really no Italian influence for soccer in America. Like,
I think you bring up a great point.
And then the Bundesliga. I mean, I think the Bundesliga is the richest league in the world, correct?
I think I'm sure the German.
Sure. It's like most watched or something like that.
No,
like,
I think the Premier League is the most, in terms of average attendance. Premier League, then it's Bundesliga, and then it's the Championship. Funny enough, in England.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I think so. But I think Bundesliga might be, in terms of, none of the clubs are like bankrupt.
That's true. I think a lot of them are owned
by the fans.
Big time by the fans, yeah. So it keeps ticket prices down, and you know, you can go see a Bundesliga match for nothing compared to, you know, other countries. Yeah. And you can't forget either the dominance of the Champions League. It seems that whatever country is on top in the Champions League tends to spill over into the domestic league and give that league lots of popularity. So Spain and now Germany, and who knows?
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. And to pick up what you said, yeah, I think it's only 49% of a German Bundesliga club can be owned by a single individual. So that means, 51% are owned by the fans. I mean, but La Liga, I think Wes made a good point. I mean, there's no real superstars in Serie A anymore. There's no Roberto Baggio, there's no Del Piero, there's no, like,
I mean,
real
French league is going to be...
The French league is overtaking Serie A.
I mean, and it's happened. Somebody, Monaco, and then Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah.
It's just... The outside ownership, they're coming in, they're putting in money, they're bringing in the players, and that's what people want to see. They want to see the stars, and it's about the way the league's being marketed. I mean, the Italian league is known for defense, bigger players, slower players. They're not necessarily as technical as some of the other, not as pretty of a game, and that's just not what's marketable. I mean, like, even in the Premier League, they're like, hey, we want to see beautiful football now. And it's the owners saying that because they want a product that they can sell, that people want to watch. And I don't think that's, in Italy, that's not a concern.
That's a fantastic point. B, I think the match fixing thing is also a big problem. I mean, I think maybe more clubs have been. I think in the last week, there's been more match fixing claims in Italy, which is, I mean, match fixing. We spoke a few weeks ago about it. I mean,
there was
huge
actually,
problem.
There was actually a kind of off topic. There was a match fixing thing for the. Talk about the Belize USA game, that there was a fix in, like, somebody was willing to play the Belize players to throw the game so the US would win. It's odd enough. I mean, there were a couple of articles out on that. I was like,
did the USA need that much?
And I
I believe that
it's another goal for the Arsenal. I guess, I don't know. Did USA need that much help that they had to?
I didn't
have to get
so.
Someone bribed. Who knows? Yeah, hopefully. I mean, look, it's better for the world game if Serie A teams do well. I mean, obviously, the stars of AC Milan have pretty much all left. I mean, we talked about Robinho earlier on in today's podcast, and looks like he's probably leaving, whether it's to Santos or somewhere else.
Yeah, no. Not to open up another can of worms, but as Serie A, you also have a lot of problems with racism right now.
Oh, yeah.
that stems from wider social problems, and you know, you could spend a whole day talking about that, but you can't help but to think that that's spilling over into the top tier, the Serie A, and affecting either some players' willingness to come to the league, or investors, fans turning out. Depends on the place. I don't want to generalize, everything over there, is one way or the other. But again, you can't help but to think it's affecting.
Yeah, when your top players, Balotelli, is experiencing abuse and stuff like that, it's just, it's tough. People don't want to go play.
You had the case early on last season when Milan walked off the pitch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Boateng walked off the pitch. He didn't want to be involved. I think that's a fantastic point. The racism point's fantastic in terms of, it stops players wanting to go to the league. I mean, the same with Russia,
Yeah, was it?
The same type of problems.
Was it Hulk that had some problems?
Who?
Hulk.
Oh, Hulk.
Hulk.
we spoke about on the podcast a few weeks ago. It was Zenit St. Petersburg. Their supporters, one of their supporter groups, came out and wrote a letter to the club saying we don't want any black players, we don't want any gay players, and like all this stuff. But I'm not sure whether Hulk's experienced abuse himself. I know players in Russia, like what's his name? Plays for CSKA Moscow. Brazilian guy. Used to have colourful
Wagner
members.
Love?
Love would experience problems in Russia and stuff, so I mean, it's a good point about Serie A. But hopefully, traditionally it was a very tough league to win. You had AC Milan, you had Inter, you had Juventus, you had, well, even Parma and Lazio, and now you had Napoli come up, Roma. Yeah, it was Florentina. You had a lot of traditionally big
strong
teams.
Clubs, yeah.
So.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see Benitez.
Oh, Benitez
now
and Napoli.
Napoli.
We'll see, and he's now lost Cavani. He's looks like he's on his way to PSG.
Signed Mario Gomez, so yeah.
Yeah.
We'll
see how that works. Gomez is no Cavani.
Gomez is no Cavani?
I don't think so.
I'd rather have Gomez than Edison Cavani any day of the week.
I think a lot of that speaks to the service that he had at Bayern Munich.
Oh, Gomez?
Yeah.
Look. Gomez gets hated on like Chicharito gets hated on. You can't hate on a guy that stands in one area and scores the goal.
Well, I mean, I'm not hating on him. I'm not saying he's not fantastic. I'm just saying I don't prefer him to Cavani.
Benitez, successful at Napoli or no?
What's successful?
Yeah, what is
successful? What is successful for Napoli? Champions League next year. Champions League spaces.
Why not? They made it this year, didn't they?
I believe they
did.
Well, that's because I think AC Milan finished like 8th.
Yeah.
Like a real ratchet.
True. Yeah, they were ratchet. Yeah. Yeah, they'll make Champions League, I think.
Think?
Yeah, I think so. What happened to Lavezzi? I don't know why that came. He's at
PSG.
Lavezzi? Yeah.
He's at PSG. PSG,
but,
yeah.
But, I mean,
think about that. Ibrahimovic, Lavezzi, and Cavani next season.
Yeah.
With Pastore behind them?
I don't know if he's performed the way I thought he would when he went to PSG. I thought he'd probably be a little bit stronger than he has been.
Yeah. I think they put him out wide. That's the problem. Ibrahimovic is such
And they're talking about trying to get rid of Ibrahimovic. He can't stay anywhere. But I don't know why. He wins. All he does is win.
It was, 2 years ago that the thing was broken or whatever. That
yeah,
he
his had, streak.
His streak of like 8 years in a row.
Yeah, 8 years in a row where he won the league. his first year at PSG.
They didn't win the league the first time.
It was his last year in Italy. He didn't win the league. I think.
Oh, was it last year?
Yeah, it was. I think it was at AC Milan at the time. They didn't win the league, and that was the. He won. Zlatan Ibrahimovic won. I think 8 league titles in a row.
Yeah. Looks like we got 7-0 to the good.
Arsenal win 7-0.
Come on, you Arsenal.
Who did they play, Hunter?
Honestly, they're on the Asian tour.
I think it's the Indonesian All-Star team.
Yeah.
The Indonesian All-Star team?
Yeah.
Well, Manchester United lost to the Thailand All-Star team 1-0.
I think we have them on Wednesday, actually.
Oh, really?
Y'all better look out.
They're a very tough opposition.
Yeah. It was a bit odd to see Moyes over on the bench. I forgot at first he was, Sir Alex wasn't there, and they panned over, and there he is.
Quick question to end the pod. Remember, you can tweet us at On The Ball Show. You can go on Facebook, On The Ball, a soccer podcast. Find us on iTunes, on Podomatic. What is your view? Oh, no. How come you supported Arsenal? Are you from Dallas?
I am from Dallas.
You're from Dallas? How come you're a Gooner?
Oh, yeah. I go back playing the game since I was 4 years old. Never big enough to play football. Come from a family of Dallas Cowboys, American football fans. Yeah. So, that's a big sport here in Texas. But being a man of smaller stature, I fell in love with football, European world football, soccer. And just from there developed, we didn't have a professional league at the time, outdoor here in Dallas in the States. So, supported the indoor Dallas Sidekicks and got a jersey from London when my mother went there one time for business, brought me back an Arsenal shirt. Happened to catch them a few times on pay-per-view. This was back in 93-94, I think right before, yeah. That was the only way we could get games back then.
I'm surprised you paid to watch Arsenal.
I didn't pay. I was a little boy. I just went over to my friend's house who had parents from overseas, and they would pay for the matches, so I'd watch them. And a few months later is when we got Dennis Bergkamp, who was one of my favorite players, and there was no question after that.
Awesome.
He's a fantastic player. And obviously, a lot of people confuse him as Arsene Wenger's signing, but Arsene Wenger did not sign it. It was Bruce Rioch that
Correct.
Signed him. Yeah, and I think 96 came from Inter Milan, which is funny. We talked about Serie A.
I got one quick thing. Go. Bastille Day tomorrow. Favorite French players?
Huh?
It's Bastille Day tomorrow.
It's what day tomorrow?
Bastille Day.
Bastille Day?
Yeah, the French Independence.
Oh. You know more.
Wow.
I'm English. Okay. I got nothing to do
with it. I don't know. I guess I just have French a lot of French friends, so it's a big deal. Favorite French players. I'm going to keep it
so
simple.
So it's French Independence Day.
Yeah.
Who are they independent from? I don't know who they...
Wasn't it the rebellion against the crown?
Yeah.
Storming of the Bastille?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. You both killed me in history. Apparently.
Anyway, I'm going to keep it simple.
Yes.
Zidane.
Your favorite French player is Zidane.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it real simple. Zizou.
I'm going to have to say Thierry Henry. Oh. But if I wasn't an Arsenal fan, I would agree Zidane.
Favorite French player? Oh, well, I'll say Eric Cantona.
Oh, can't go wrong with that.
Zidane, Henry, both terrific. Patrick Vieira. I actually like David Trezeguet, although he's...
Where's he at now?
He's at River Plate, last time I knew.
And he's really old, right?
He's as old as Henri, so he must be 35, maybe? 36?
Gotta be getting up there.
Him and Henri played together at Monaco, right, in the youth team, which Arsene Wenger started at Monaco. So that's the connection. From the London and Addison, producer Gio, thank you so much. As always, sir, it's a pleasure. Our special guest, Hunter, how are you doing? You had a good time on the pod?
Great time, fellas. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming over. I know you didn't know us. We were just some weirdos in the corner.
He had no preparation. Wes just got in there, grabbed him.
I was ready to go. Yeah. Spilling over with the pigeon.
Wes, thank you so much for coming today.
Absolutely, man. I'm always ready.
And we are On The Ball. Remember, Twitter, @ On The Ball Show, Facebook, On The Ball Soccer Podcast. Review, comment, tell me I'm full of shit. It's all good. We're on the ball. London and Addison, we'll see you next week. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
since that moment. Beckham. Into Sheringham. And Solskjaer has won it!
We're on the ball. We're on the ball. We're on the ball. We're on the ball.
We're on the ball. We're on the ball. We're on the ball. Even though we're small. We're on the ball.
And I'm the ball back.